Follow our Twitter account at Wow Show.
It is Way of the Warrior, Eric O'Brien, along with Ken Evans and Sean Desay of Triumph MMA, covering everything in the world of mixed martial arts. It's UFC 158. It's on pay-per-view this weekend, and we've still got a lot more to talk about because
they're all welterweights.
They are all welterweights, and this is, of course, by design, because let's remember, going back to the original time that Diaz and GSP were supposed to fight, Diaz was pulled off for not showing up for some media opportunities that he was required to be at, and that is how Carlos Condit got into the picture and was up for the fight.
For the title.
That ended up being an interim title to begin with because George got injured, and then the title fight they had this past November. This time around, though, Carlos was supposed to fight Rory McDonald. Rory had a neck injury and then re-aggravated it this week, so he's going to be out much longer than anticipated. But if you're not familiar with the history between these two, Rory McDonald's single loss comes to Carlos Condit and happened with 7 seconds left in the third round. Rory McDonald was absolutely owning Carlos Condit till strikes, which is what Carlos is an expert at, changed the dynamic of that fight, and Carlos stole one in that third round, which has obviously messed with Rory
sure,
up to
man.
Present
if
day.
If that fight would have went to the cards, I would have liked to hear what the or if they ever show the scorecards. That would have been kind of cool to see.
So Rory gets injured, which brings in the actual number one contender. And I don't think there's anybody in this room that's going to deny the fact that Johnny Hendricks should be in this title fight if the world worked the way it should work on paper.
If I were to say he shouldn't be in the title fight, what does that mean? Like, I'm clueless of what's going on with Johnny
Hendricks. Yes,
okay.
It means that you wouldn't be watching.
Is that what you're saying?
Yeah.
Who would you think should be in there? Because I might agree with you.
Who has a better record right now?
I'm just saying, as far, what are we talking about here? You said on paper. Are we talking about making money? Are we talking
about? No. Because obviously making money is Nick Diaz. That's why he's there. I'm saying, like, if you're playing the home game of the guy who in every other sport has the most wins gets to fight the other guy who's got the most wins for a belt. To me, in
all
the
right, welterweight, talk about wins.
In the welterweight division, yes, if we're going to talk about success, Johnny Hendricks would clearly be.
You
far
and your
away.
Friends with the UFC rankings want to look at those stats.
You know what? Maybe you know, like on paper, the guys he beat, the guys he's knocked out. Sure, let's put him in there. I think it was because the way he was just crying and whining about it so much is probably why I feel the way I do.
And
right
that's
now.
Fine for you to feel that way.
Wait! You think he was crying and whining about it?
Dude. Okay, but I don't get a title shot.
He is, dude,
that's not how you talk
one,
your way into a title
that, okay,
shot.
But
you don't do it that
again,
way by crying.
This
man.
Is a new art form for these
Save
guys.
Your beard.
This is a new art form for these guys.
What is wrong with his beard?
Who wanted to fight their way into the title shot, which is what he did. He just plowed through everybody and went, "Where's my title shot?" And then he went, "Oh, that's right. It's the Chael Sonnen universe. I've got to start talking now." And then he starts his campaign, which I'm with you, really wasn't that strong. But he did start it. Doesn't
it was
matter.
Weak.
He's in the co-main event with Carlos.
I like this fight better than that Rory fight.
I love this fight. We're going to talk to Carlos here in a little bit, and I told Carlos that I love this fight, and he'll kind of weigh in on about the difference between these two competitors. But to me, Johnny Hendricks is an amped-up, younger version of Dan Henderson. Same sort of skill set. He's got his own version of the H-bomb that he clearly can throw and make it lights out. And that's what makes it interesting, because you rarely, unless he needs to use it, you rarely see his wrestling, and that makes for an ideal fight when you're putting him against Carlos Condit.
Well, if you want him to end up in that title fight, Eric, this is a much better fight for him, because he was supposed to fight Ellenberger originally, correct?
Yes.
So if you want to see Johnny Hendricks in a title fight, him beating Ellenberger wasn't going to necessarily do that. It might have helped. It wasn't necessarily going to put him there. I don't think anybody can deny if he's able to beat the interim champion, the former interim champion, Carlos Condit.
I'm knocking on as much wood as possible because, you know, every time we say it's undeniable that blah, blah, blah should fight, they somehow find another welterweight that was just hanging out there that...
Like, right. Forgot that guy was in
forgot
UFC.
That guy. But to me, I'm with you. If Carlos wins or Hendricks wins, it's undeniable which one of those guys.
I don't know if Carlos walks back into a title
he
shot.
He has to. Really?
Yeah.
You know what? I have a really good feeling with all these welterweights. The guys that finish their fights with, I mean, like, great fashion are probably going to be the ones that are going to catapult a little bit closer to the title than anybody else. I'm not saying that, let's say Hendricks does.
So Rick Story is going to jump off Facebook
Rick,
into the
Rick's
I say I say closer from where they're at. Okay, from where they're at right now.
2011 Rick Story, would be true. But
take Nate Marquardt, right?
Yes.
I mean, dude, that dude's, his last fight wasn't so great, but one before that was pretty good. And, I mean, if he's fighting Ellenberger, I mean, if he smashes Ellenberger, I mean, that's a good case.
Well, let's
like,
just remember, I don't want everybody poo-pooing this. Rick Story's got the win over Johnny Hendricks, right?
Yes, he does.
Okay.
But that was 2011, Rick Story.
Just saying.
That wasn't that long ago.
MMA math, yeah.
Yeah, that wasn't that long ago. We're barely in 2013.
2010, actually.
What's funny, you know, what's funny is that we're saying that if Hendricks wins, he's undeniable, but we're, of course, forgetting that Tarek Saffiedine has a strap around his waist that could easily walk into this.
Hey, is
mixer.
Rick Story even on the card?
Yeah, he's on the Facebook card.
Oh, okay, cool.
Tarek Saffiedine has a belt?
He's the Strikeforce champ.
Oh.
Remember, he beat...
Congratulations, Derek.
He beat Marquardt in the last Strikeforce.
But then his last fight was pretty lame, too.
So. Whatever.
He beat the champ. I don't know why I'm not pulling for him.
As we alluded to, we also have Jake Ellenberger, who is welcoming Nate Marquardt back into the fold. Ellenberger was supposed to fight Hendricks, which is how Marquardt gets into... It's MMA math on the highest level for this weekend, because Marquardt was in Strikeforce... got taken into the UFC but had nothing to do, and then all of a sudden Hendricks needs to go fight Condit, so Ellenberger needs somebody to fight. Here's Nate Marquardt, and there we go, because Tarek Saffiedine is injured and couldn't take the fight, although he would have been more than happy to get into the UFC. But it should be an exciting debut when Tarek does that, for sure.
Wikipedia is now on fire after all of this.
I know.
I can't keep up.
Well, because to me, this Ellenberger-Marquardt fight is interesting, because this could be the one that's either super exciting if the Marquardt that won the Strikeforce belt shows up, or it could be a snooze fest between these two dudes, you know, as they try and out-wrestle each other.
Are you sure he had a belt?
Yes.
Okay.
Positive he had a belt. Dropped to 170.
Woodley, right?
Won a belt over Tyrone Woodley.
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay.
That was a bad fight for Woodley, too. Oh.
I mean, I know six people were watching Showtime at that time, but
it was like
actually
two or three elbows followed up with a couple uppercuts, man. That was a bad knockout.
It was a bad knockout. Also on the card, current training partner with Rory McDonald, Mike Ricci, looks to get back on the winning skid as he lost his debut out of the Tough House. He's going to take on Colin Fletcher in the debut of the main card. And then Nick Ring, Canadian superstar, takes on Chris Camozzi. I'm not really sure about that one. It could go either way. It's obviously kind of set up once again for Nick Ring to kind of have a coming out party. They're really trying hard, the UFC is, to make Nick into some sort of a superstar. I don't know, but it just seems like they keep putting him in these positions for him to shine.
His interviews, man, when he starts talking, you're like, wow, this guy got punched in the head too many times, you know.
But going to be an interesting night of fights. The pay-per-view is strong, and like I said, a bunch of welterweights. There's 12 total fights. Six of them involve welterweights. Patrick Cote is going to be on this card as well, so if you're a Cote fan rooting for him to continue to stay in the UFC, this is certainly going to be the card for you as we celebrate on pay-per-view at UFC 158.
That should be a good one for the headlining on the preliminary. That'll be on FX, right?
Yes.
When we're on pay-per-view, we go to FX. Just keeping straight
in
my head.
Yeah, when we're not, we go to Fuel. Again, that's MMA math for that.
Yeah, we'll put it on our Facebook page so we don't forget, and then you can check it out too.
Yes, and you can follow along with all of the results on Twitter and Facebook. Just search WOW Show. We're going to talk to Carlos Condit here in a couple minutes. We also have the question of the week. We're going to hook you up with the DVD of GSP and Carlos Condit. So if you've got a question, still time to ask that, and we'll get to that in news. And speaking of news, we'll do a couple of spoilers right now just because there were some big stories this week, as Anderson Silva has taken on the Chris Weidman debacle and will officially fight him on 4th of July weekend, which I'm super excited about.
July 6th in Vegas, correct?
July 6th in Vegas.
Silva Weidman.
And we'll be able to see if Weidman can live up to the hype.
Yeah.
One. Really?
I'm just calling it now. Silva Weidman won.
Oh, boy.
Weidman by decision.
Oh boy.
Are we doing picks already? All right.
Do you know how bad that would be if it was Weidman by decision?
Oh, mark the date down.
That would be brutal.
March 15th. Yeah. I called it.
Do you like this fight, Sean?
Anderson's, anytime Anderson's fighting.
Of course,
so,
but
yeah.
Do you like the matchup of these two guys?
I think we talked about this a long time ago before Weidman was getting
actually got the fight
popular, right? And yes. Stuff like that. And I was like, yeah, you know, I think that'd be a good fight. And it's, you know, it's kind of funny how Anderson, you know, avoided it and then came back to it and whatever. But, you know, it's finally happening. I think Weidman's young. He's going to learn a lot out of this fight. I mean, I really do like it. I don't think he has enough experience just yet. I mean, I think the only way he can really win it is, I don't know, if he just does something really surprising and catches Anderson, which is going to be very, very, very hard to do. But Anderson, man, that guy's got a lot of experience.
Well, let's tie it all together with the weekend festivities. You know where I'm going.
I know exactly where you're going.
Because George St. Pierre already said this. He said that Weidman is going to beat Silva quickly.
Well, because they're training partners,
he's going to
I mean,
he said he's going to
finish
him
quickly.
Yeah. I mean,
hold on.
Not only is he going to beat him, I believe he's going to finish Anderson Silva. I believe it's not going to be too long. That fight, people will be shocked.
Yeah.
I like that. I love your
That was good, by the way. I was very impressed by your performance.
I would say this week, most of our media friends would enjoy that because you would have at least talked to them. So
Yeah. I'm going to do the calling for him.
Yes, he doesn't do his interviews anymore. He
I will do the interviews for him.
Yes, okay, so just what if, guys? Let's say Nick Diaz pulls the...
Oh, like, here we go.
Yeah, oh, yeah. No.
Let's say he wins.
We got how far through and segment no, no, no,
let's say, Anderson loses too, right? Uh-huh. Let's say you get Weidman's the champ and you get Diaz the champ. I mean, UFC is going in a totally different direction.
Well,
after
I mean,
that,
let's take that one step further because we saw something incredible this week on The Ultimate Fighter as Chael Sonnen won again against Jon Jones. So if Chael Sonnen wins, if Nick Diaz wins, and Chris Weidman wins, we're looking at an entirely new universe.
Yeah, because remember the old days when it was like Matt Hughes, Tim Sylvia, Rich Franklin.
I'm gonna need another DirecTV magnet, right? Because none of those fighters are going to be applicable anymore.
Because now you're just going to have a whole different, you know. Well, and let's say Pettis wins for some crazy reason.
We had
that
exact. You know what we would have? We'd have a much easier path to one of those super fights because we had the easiest path to Chuck Liddell and Wanderlei Silva after they both came off losses.
Yep.
That's when they finally made the fight.
It was a great fight,
ago.
But you're right. There was no title. It was just a great fight, you know. And these guys went for three rounds. And you know. I would love to see when those, like GSP said a long time ago.
I love supposition, Sean.
Me too.
Yeah.
I like these guys if they can go back to, you know, if they don't have the title and they go back to their three rounds fighting, because then they train different, they fight different. It's like, yeah, you know.
Well, that's why, you know, when you see JDS lose Overeem as an opponent and get Mark Hunt, that's an awesome.
Oh, yeah, 100%. Oh, that is going to be.
That's going to be a great fight as well. There's a lot of great fights coming up. We'll cover a bunch of them in news. But before we do that, Carlos Conant's going to join us. He's going to talk about Johnny Hendricks and then talk a little GSP. Maybe even give us some insight into how Nick Diaz was able to crawl inside of George's head and create this new George that has a dark place and hates everybody on planet Earth who isn't the guy running his Twitter account. All right, when we come back, we'll talk to Carlos Conant.
Hates that guy, too.
It's Way of the Warrior.